determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, right now I'm going to ask you to hold your calls, although our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we have this on the line right now, Mr. Jim Mars. And Jim certainly is a prolific writer. He's written a lot of great things on what's going on today. And, of course, one of the books we carry by him is called Inside Job. And then, of course, he wrote a book right after 9-1-1. In fact, he even had a contract with, I believe it was one of our major publishers, and everybody was all set to go ahead and distribute the book until for some reason or other, they decided that they'd just go ahead and pay him a lot of money and not publish his book. Jim, that was the most incredible thing. Why was it that after the lawyers and the editors and everybody had given you clearance on your book, why the publisher simply paid you off rather than allow you to publish it?
Suppose that someone way up there at some celestial level decided this was information they didn't want the public to know about.
And, of course, this is the thing. You know, how can we have a free society if the information is not free in this country? In other words, if people can actually regulate, you know, what the American people read. And I think that the last thing they want is for them to know what really happened on 9-1-1. We also carry Rule by Secrecy. We carry Inside Job, both by Jim Mars. And we'll let him tell you about some of the other books that he's writing and working on. Now, Jim, have you come up with a new book now?
Yes, this one, the one we just discussed, it got suppressed back in 2003, is now in an expanded and updated version, will be released in September under the title The Terra Conspiracy. It's Deception, 9/11, and the Loss of Liberty.
All right, fine. Now, is it going to be put out by a major publisher or what?
It's put out by a publisher in New York called Disinformation Company, and they've put out a number of really interesting books. I know I wrote a piece for them some time back that came out in a book they published that's entitled You're Being Lied To. So they've kind of been right on top of the situation. There's some younger people, and they're really paying attention to what's going on in the world.
Well, I hope they can get your information out. Now, we carry Jim's wonderful book, Rule by Secrecy. It's in softback now. It was published by HarperCollins. How many copies of that were out?
I don't know. It's wild. Last week they sent me copies in Polish, and just today I got some copies that was published in Turkish. So it's in Turkish and Bulgarian and Spanish and Japanese. I don't know. It's all over the place.
And, of course, it really goes into all of these secret organizations. We talk about it so very, very much here at Radio Liberty and how these all work together to control our reality. It's Rule by Secrecy by Jim Mars. We recommend it very highly. We think it's a great book. And if you haven't read it, it's well worthwhile getting, and we do carry that here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, what are we going to be talking about today? Do you want to talk about 9-1-1 or your new book, or what would you like to talk about?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think we need to start enlightening people on what's being done behind their back. Of course, what we hear in the headlines is, we're still fighting in Iraq. And, of course, they say we're killed X number of insurgents today. And that's an interesting choice of words, because if they would change the word insurgents to Iraqis, we would probably have a better understanding of what's going on.
Hold that off right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and with us this afternoon is Jim Mars. And Jim, we've had on many times before. We knew him initially by a book he'd written called Rule by Secrecy, and we've carried that for many years because it really goes into the background of who really pulls the strings and how all of these secret and semi-secret and covert organizations interlock really to rule the American people without their knowledge or certainly without their consent. And then, of course, more recently, a book on Inside Job. But right now, of course, we're going to be talking about so many of the things that go on today and the story behind the headlines. Because, of course, our attention is being diverted on what's going on in Iraq. And while American boys fight for freedom overseas, we are losing our freedom at home. This is exactly what Vietnam was all about. And I always like to ask the question, how is it possible that a mighty nation like America, the greatest nation in the world, military, could fight a 10-year war against a country the size of the state of Mississippi and lose that war? Do you honestly believe that happened by accident? Do you honestly believe it was the media that lost the war? Or do you believe we went in there to lose? And it was a great diversion, and as our boys fought in Vietnam, why, the Supreme Court began to centralize power in Washington, D.C., and found a woman had a right to kill the child within her. And they took God and prayer and began to enforce the laws of taking God and prayer out of our schools. And they changed our immigration laws, and they began to transform America. But the biggest thing, of course, was to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and gut the very essence of our society, which is based upon the Constitution. Is that what Iraq is really all about, this so-called war on terrorism, where we can just never find Osama bin Laden? But all shucks, we're still looking for him. You can depend on that, because he is the arch-villain. Go ahead, Jim, pick up the story.
Right. Well, while we're being diverted with Iraq, and we don't hear much about Afghanistan because we pull a lot of troops out of Afghanistan to try to help in Iraq, and as a result, the Taliban and the insurgency in Afghanistan are making considerable headways. The poppy fields have been replanted. There's now where the Taliban religious zealot idiots that they may have been, at least they were, they almost destroyed 90% of the world's poppy crop. That really ate into the heroin profits. And now there's, according to U.S. News and World Report, there's more than 500,000 acres back in cultivation. So we propped up the world drug trade. And but while we're being, distracted looking at that, I'm more concerned with what they're doing right here at home.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jim Mars is saying that he's concerned about the fact that we're over there fighting over in Iraq and to some extent in Afghanistan, but while our attention is diverted overseas, we are losing our freedom here at home. Go ahead, pick up the story there.
Well, back in 2005, when we were not really noticing and the mass media didn't really tell us about it, there was something called the Security and Prosperity Partnership signed by President Bush, Mexican President Vicente Fox, and then Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin. This is tying together economically Canada, United States, Mexico, and now they're getting ready to hold public hearings here in Texas on the Canamex Superhighway. They're going to build a superhighway from southern Mexico that'll go right up through the middle of Texas, up through the middle of the United States, and we'll go all the way into Canada with no border controls. Nobody stops, just big, you know, double tractor trailer trucks running day and night up and down here, to include some oil and gas pipelines and to include some rail lines. This is the first step in unifying what will become the North American Union. All right, and this is the way they started in Europe by forming an economic community, and that which soon became the European Union, and now all the nations in Europe have to kowtow to the European Union authority, and pretty soon it'll be the North American Union, and the United States, Mexico, and Canada will all be just equal partners, and there will be no more United States of America.
And I think what people have to understand, in Europe, the politicians lie to the people. Oh, this is all about economics. You know, that's all it is. And, of course, we're all going to benefit from free trade. And of course, it isn't free trade. And the people didn't benefit because, of course, a lot of the people over there are poorer than they were before.
Exactly.
But what it really is all about is giving up sovereignty and doing away with the, for instance, in England, with the right of habeas corpus and the right of rule by law, and bringing everything under the control of faceless bureaucrats, because there really are fascists out there who want to control everything, and they're some of the richest men in the world, and they've done it in England with the full support of our government here, because we were the major driving force behind that, and now they want to do the same thing to North America, and that's why George Bush is not trying to seal the border. Oh, he said, you know, we're going to seal the border, we're going to put 6,000 troops down there, of course, they won't carry any weapons, and they won't be allowed to apprehend any of the troops coming across, and they're going to be kept busy building roads and maybe putting in telephone lines or something of the sort. But they're not going to be doing anything to stop the people from coming in. And the president's against amnesty. He just wants all the illegals to be able to stay here and become citizens. And he's in favor of having English, the official language of America. But if you go up on his webpage at whitehouse.gov, you will find his major speeches are all there in both English and Spanish. So there's a lot of inconsistencies, and maybe the president isn't stopping immigration because he doesn't want to, because he's going to do away with our sovereignty, and then we won't have to worry about our borders and immigration. It'll just be migration from one area to another. We'll all be just one big happy family.
That's true. We'll all just be happy consumers to the multinational corporations. And Dr. Stan, I think you realize that in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy back in the 30s, what happened there was the state gained control over the corporations, and it was this combination of state and corporate power that is the definition of fascism. Well, today in modern America, they've just done the opposite. The corporations have now taken over control of the state, but the end result's still the same.
At least as far as us serfs is certainly going to be. And they plan to lower our living standards. And you know, if you're out there working, you're finding it, you're not getting raises. Actually, the inflation rate is somewhere about 8%. They're lying to us about that. And yet, of course, you're getting less and less. You're maybe getting 1% or 2% raise. And so every year, while you go behind about 6%, and pretty soon you're going to find yourself living about the same level as the average person in Mexico. But that's all part of the plan that's laid out in the Earth Charter. They know what they're doing. They just can't let the American people know. Well, Jim, how are we going to get the information out?
Well, we're doing it right now. You just have to first educate yourself, and then you have to start educating your friends, your family, your neighbors. That Security and Prosperity Partnership that I mentioned earlier, you know, see, this was never authorized by Congress. No, there's been no funding authorized by Congress. I'd better say a good number of the congressmen who are not on the payroll and in the know probably don't even really realize that all this is happening, and that's the key to it, all this secrecy and deceit. If it was really a good thing for everybody, why isn't it open and on the table, and why aren't we all discussing it? Instead, it's being slipped through us in secrecy and by deceit.
And this is exactly what they did in Europe with the European Union. These people lie. Would our politicians lie to us? Would the current administration lie to us? Do they really have a secret agenda? I know I talked to Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's actually been interviewing a number of members of Congress, going to their offices. The congressmen never heard of this. They're amazed when they sit down on their, you know, at their computers and type in, you know, the website. It's spc.gov, spp.gov, or spp.gov, and find out that this is really a reality. There really is this organizations being set up and all sorts of think tanks, about 20 of them, planning our future. And, of course, it's not authorized by Congress. And, of course, the Commerce Department refuses to tell who's on those various task forces. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what, if there's nothing to hide, why are they hiding it?
Exactly. It's just ruled by secrecy. And if you think back, Dr. Stan, you realize that they pulled this on us before, okay? First it was NAFTA, the North American Free Trade agreement. Oh, it's just an economic thing. Don't worry your head about it, you know. But then NAFTA quickly became the World Trade Organization. And the World Trade Organization courts of the WTO have already ordered Congress to alter U.S. laws, which they have done. Not because the voters asked for it or because anybody studied it and thought it was a good idea, but simply because they were told to do so by the World Trade Organization. We better start waking up and smell the coffee, or the whole idea of individual liberty and freedom is just going to be down the tubes and into the dustbin of history.
Well, I share your concern, and not only that, but, you know, there's so many other things that are going on. The idea that the Supreme Court, with Judge Alito, who everybody had such high expectation for, and yet he was a swing vote in this, in doing away with the fact that the police have to knock on the door. You know, in Hitler's Germany, it was always said that everybody feared that knock on the door in the middle of the night when the Gestapo would come for you. But we have a system here in America where you had at least to knock on the door. You had to have a warrant before searching. This goes back to the 1300s, you know, in English common law. And in one fell swoop, thanks to Judge Alito and Judge Roberts, these wonderful new patriots, you know, they've wiped that out, and it's no longer necessary, you know, to even to knock on the door when you're coming with a warrant. You just knock it down. And, of course, it was Ruth Ginsburg and the liberals who were on the right side and the so-called conservatives voting for the fascist society.
Exactly. And I wonder if Judge Alito ever stopped to consider that what he's doing with this decision is putting the lives of law enforcement officers in danger. Because I'll tell you something, somebody comes through my door, crashing in the door in the middle of the night, armed, I'm probably just going to unload on them.
Yeah, but of course, right? they'll shoot you down in cold blood.
Jeff. Of course they will, but I'm going to be shooting back. What I'm saying is that if you identify yourself as police officers, and then you knock on the door, and then you identify yourself again, then at least everybody knows what's going on, and I think it's going to put law enforcement officers in danger to just go crashing blindly into people's homes without knocking and without proper authorization.
But, of course, what we need is the police officers on our side. We need the military on our side. The problem is we have people who do not believe in individual freedom or America's tradition or the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment or anything else, and they're at the highest levels of our government, and George Bush has appointed him to the Supreme Court. That's what's so frightening. How could you do away with the tradition that goes back to the 1300s in one fell swoop? Even in Nazi Germany, they didn't knock down the door. They just knocked on the door, and then if you didn't do anything, they came in. But, you know, we're not even going to have the knock on the door anymore.
That's exactly right. And you mentioned my book, Rule by Secrecy. If you'll read Rule by Secrecy, you'll find out that this is not just happenstance. This is not just incompetence or ignorance. This is a plan that was put into effect many years ago, a plan to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America and to ultimately bring us into one world government, or as George Bush's father called it, the New World Order. And it's right there. It's just like Hitler. They wrote it all down. They said, this is what we're going to do, and they're doing it. And we're all sitting around scratching our heads.
And let me suggest that you get Rule by Secrecy, written by Jim. It's written. How long ago did you write that, Jim?
That was 2000, I believe.
I mean, we
9/11.
Well, we actually carry that book, and we still sell it regularly. We think it's such an important book, Jim Marr's Rule by Secrecy, because you have to understand, there really are people out there in positions of power who belong to secret societies, who have a different world agenda, who are energized by a different force, because in my estimation they worship a different god. And until people understand the spiritual force that energizes these people, nothing going on today makes sense.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan, and the important thing is you don't have to believe in these spiritual forces if you don't want to, but what you better know is that those people do believe in it, and they are going to affect your life and your future.
Amen to that. And I think it's so important that you know that your book is going out all over the world, and that people in other countries understand that the major force behind the drive towards the New World Order is right here in the United States. It's in New York, center of the Council on Foreign Relations. It is the meetings of the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, which, of course, was organized by David Rockefeller, and the Skull and Bones of the Bohemian Grove and the upper echelons, the secret echelons of Masonry, and in so many other places. And, of course, they use their power, and they have great power, to influence our educational system, to control our foundations, and ultimately to control the reality of what the American people believe, because they buy up the newspapers, they own the banks, they can create money out of nothing, they can buy the politicians. Isn't it wonderful? Maybe soon we will have that one world government that these men have dreamed of. Well, our guest this afternoon is Jim Mars. Jim, go right ahead. I share your concerns. How are we going to approach this? How are we going to get the information out? How are we going to get the American people to realize that freedom once lost will never be regained?
Well, the key to it's education in the broadest sense, meaning that people have to educate themselves on what's going on. And this means you probably need to turn off your TV for a while, because TV is a they've done studies showing that when people read books and people even listen to the radio, still and all, your mind has to work, and you have to create these images in your mind to and then you begin to formulate what's happening. But with television, it's very passive. It just washes over you, and it actually dulls you down and dumbs you down. So the first thing you need to do is turn off the television, except just on a few occasions when there's a sporting event or a movie or something, or an educational program you might want to see. But for the most part, turn it off. And then start reading and studying as to what's really going on in the world, and start making up your own mind about things instead of letting those TV commentators describe the world around you, which, as you mentioned at the first of your program, is oftentimes very far removed from reality.
And, of course, the thing is that there is a growing movement there. At least here in America, we still have a certain amount of free talk radio, although you find that there are certain major corporations going around and buying up all the radio stations and buying up the television stations and even buying up the Christian radio stations, and then, of course, putting there, you know, programs that are totally supportive of the Bush administration, which is one of the major culprits behind this whole move towards the One World Order. Not that the Clinton administration wasn't as well. But I dare say that if Bill Clinton had done most of the things that have been done under the Bush administration, there would have been a tremendous opposition from the Republicans. I don't think that Bill Clinton ever could have gotten us into a war in Iraq, you know, saying that there were weapons of mass destruction there when of course, they were no threat to America. But, you know, tragically, we have a situation where if your president, you know, is in power and you're a congressman, a Republican congressman, or a senator, you better back him or you're not going to get any help to get yourself reelected. And they will target you. If you do not go along and you're a good Republican senator, like Bob Smith was in New Hampshire, they went out to get him. And they did. And they replaced him with Sununu, who was a liberal, but that's all right. They always run liberals in the Republican Party, you know, so that you really don't have a chance. You got a choice between a liberal Republican and a liberal Democrat. Which do you want? They both want big government. They both take an immoral position. You got to make the American people think that the Republicans are pro-choice, pro-life, and the Democrats are pro-choice, and yet the Republicans to control both houses of Congress and the presidency for 5 years, and they've never once suggested doing away with Roe versus Wade. What they could do very, very simply, by majority, we wouldn't have to have two-thirds, and then put a rider on saying the Supreme Court can't act on it. It's all a mirage. It's all to give the American people the idea that we have a two-party system, and gee, if we could just get the Republicans in power, we could get a good, responsible Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how gullible the people are, isn't it, Ted?
It actually is. In fact, consider the 2004 presidential election. You know, you had a choice. You could vote for a Republican skull and bones member and oil man, George W. Bush, or you could vote for his cousin, Democrat, skull and bones man and oil man, John Kerry. Is there any choice there? No, not at all. But Dr. Stanley...
Hold that thought for just a minute. I want to bring our stations back on board right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jim Mars. And if you haven't read his book, Rule by Secrecy, you really want to. And Jim is simply pointing out that, you know, we really don't have a chance. In 2004, you had a choice of electing one of two members of the Skull and Bone Society. Which one did you want to elect? I mean, there are only 800 members of this secret occult organization whose walls are decorated in the tomb at Yale University with swastikas, not because they support Nazism, but because they came from the same root as Nazism, which was the occult societies of Bavaria back in the 1800s. And so here you have Skull and Bones member George Bush, you have Skull and Bones member John Kerry. Both of them, when asked about their membership in the organization, said Skull and Bones was just so secret they couldn't talk about it. So where is their real allegiance? Pick up the story there, Jim.
Right. I think it should be worrisome to every American that the fact that our sitting president has taken an oath to a secret society that, by all accounts, supersedes any other oath he will take in his entire life. That should be very much concerned. But then, as you pointed out, Skull and Bones is actually the proper name, is Chapter 322, and it's, according to Ron Rosenbaum of the New Yorker, he tracked it back to Germany to a secret society there, which, of course, was the Illuminati. And what is important to understand about the Illuminati is that their basic credo is the end justifies the means, which means they will lie, cheat, steal, kill, paint themselves as anything. They'll say, I'm a liberal. They say, I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. They'll say anything to further their ends. And until people understand that, they're going to be whipsawed around in these day-to-day controversies, never quite understanding why is it that we'll vote for a Democrat and then we'll vote for a Republican, but nothing changes.
And that's part of the plan. You're always going to be able to throw the scoundrels out, but in the end, the same foreign and domestic policies continue.
Exactly.
Well, of course, I think it's so vitally important that you get on the air and that you explain this to people. And I know you have a tremendous opportunity through your writing and through your books and your lectures to reach people. Do you think at least a few of them are beginning to wake up? Are they beginning to understand that this war with Iraq, we're not trying to win it? In fact, I was reading this fascinating article just a couple of days ago in the Wall Street Journal. They're talking about Iraqization. You know, we're going to get the Iraqi army to take over. Yet they're not even feeding the Iraqi army. They can't get food. The food that they get is rotten and making them sick. They're not adequately armed. They're not adequately supplied. They're not adequately trained. And why would you not try to train the Iraqi army or treat them well, you know, if you're going to try to get them to take over, you know, so that we can bring the American troops out? And the truth of the matter is, we don't want a good, strong Iraqi army. We don't want to bring our troops out. We want an excuse to stay there indefinitely. That's why we're building all these big camps and a couple of billion-dollar embassy. Why would you spend a couple of billion dollars on an embassy in the country you're thinking of pulling out of?
Exactly. And again, if they would simply change the words that we get, instead of saying so many insurgents were killed today, if they would simply say so many Iraqis were killed today. I remember seeing a quote from one of the military commanders, one of our military commanders, and he said 90-95% of the people that they were engaging in combat were Iraqis.
And, of course, most of these are not terrorists. They're people who are objecting to our occupation of their country. And if somebody was occupying our country, we would be fighting them as well. Most of the, probably less than 10% of the people are terrorists, and yet they keep talking about how these people are terrorists. They're not terrorists. They're Iraqis who are trying to regain control of their government. And, of course, there's a big question whether they're agent provocateurs going around on one side killing the Sunnis, the other side killing the Shias, so you can keep that civil war going.
And that's been pretty well proven. There were British commando units caught planting bombs in Iraq. I mean, they are, you know, a lot of this violence is being contrived, okay? And, again, and you hit the nail on the head. What if the Chinese army was occupying the United States? What would most people who are listening to my voice right now, what would you be doing? You'd probably be out shooting at them. Okay? It's that simple, you know? You fight people when they come and take your home and your country. So, again, we're not fighting, and we are fighting insurgents, but look at the definition of insurgent. It's someone who is fighting against the established order. Well, the established order in Iraq is the United States military.
And the great tragedy is, back in 2003, we had an intact structure of government. We deposed Saddam Hussein. We could turn that over to the Iraqis there and made sure that the people in charge were, you know, representing the best interests of the Iraqi people. Instead of that, we disbanded the Iraqi army. We disband the Iraqi police force. We disband the Iraqi civil service, so there's no electricity and no water, and we create chaos, and then we say, gee, look, there's chaos. I guess we're going to have to stay indefinitely. Well, aw, shucks, we don't want to, but we're here to help the Iraqis. We'll be back in just a moment with Tex Mars, and we'll welcome your calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jim Mars, and of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, I'd love to hear from you, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what a tragic situation we have over in Iraq. I mean, the government says about 30,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed, and I think that they are intentionally understating the number. We know that certainly is. Congressman John Murtha has spoken out repeatedly saying we've got to get the American troops out of there, and we've got to set a specific date for pulling them out and turn this back over to the Iraqis. And I remember hearing him interviewed by Mark Wallace, that smug reporter on 60 Minutes, saying, well, after all, we've talked to a lot of the generals, and they say we're doing wonderful, we're winning the war. And Murtha looked right in the camera and said, but that's not what they tell me off camera. That's not what they tell me privately. And Mike Wallace never asked him once who those generals were, because they don't dare speak out.
No,
they're military. Go ahead.
No, they don't. And when you're in the military and your commander-in-chief said everything's okay publicly, that you better say everything's okay.
And if you don't, they'll court-martial you and send you to prison.
Exactly. But if you'll recall, just a few months ago, 8 retired generals publicly called for Rumsfeld's resignation and said that he was incompetent and they were not handling this war in the proper way. And yet, interestingly enough, there wasn't much media play about that story, was there?
Well, except for the attacks on the generals and how terrible they were. And gee, when they were in the military, they didn't speak out. And now they got out of the military and they are speaking out. Obviously, they're dishonest men. And, of course, with the controlled media drumming away at these people and belittling them and discrediting them and demonizing them, little wonder that many of the other generals who retired really don't want to come forward and be viciously attacked like these generals who had the courage to speak out and tell the American people the truth.
That's right, but that's what happens when you have a mass media that is dominated by about 4 major multinational corporations, and which are controlled by less than 115 people, all of whom I'm sure or many of whom would be members of these secret societies and have an agenda to press, which is the New World Order.
Amen to that. And incidentally, for anybody who doubts what Jim is saying, we do carry a book on that specific subject called The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bekdaki, a professor at University of California, has been following this since the early 1980s, when there were 50 mega corporations controlling the media, and now it's down to 4 or 5. He says 5, but we won't quibble over 4 or 5. The important thing is the media is controlled. You're not getting the truth. We're so grateful we have the opportunity to be on this station and stations like this to bring you the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Again, our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Jim Mars, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Do you have any sort of a website or anything you'd like to mention here, other than the fact you've written a couple of books, and certainly we carry Rule by Secrecy, an inside job? Do you have any other thing you'd like to mention?
Well, yeah, my website is jimmars.com. That's J-I-M-M-A-R-R-S, 2 R's, .com. And I try to put up stories from time to time that you do not find in the establishment media. And, again, this is part of the education process that I was talking about, whereas each individual needs to start educating themselves as to what's truly going on in the world. And then once you feel like you begin to understand what's true and what's not, then you need to start educating your family, your friends, and your neighbors.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling us from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I should tell you, I really enjoyed Rule by Secrecy, Jim.
Well, thank you.
I read that book by Dr. Sutton after I saw it referenced in your book and in Dr. Stan's book about the skull and the bones.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed, I told my friends, I said, there's no way Karl Rove is going to be indicted, because the man that's the superior to Fitzgerald is actually from the 1968 class of skull and bones.
And I really know. See, now you understand what's going on, because now you understand what's happening behind the little rose-colored facade that the news media paints for you.
It's just trash.
It is.
But anyway, I really enjoyed that book. But what I wanted to ask you is, How do you think all of this that Jerome Corsi has been writing about with the FTAA, and I heard a man say today that he thinks it's just the North American Union is just a stepping stone to basically a North and South American Union, and I can't remember what Pan American Union or something. And before you answer, I might just say that your website is great, Jim.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And yes, this seems to be what we see, and as Dr. Stan and I discussed previously in the program, is that you're seeing the first steps that are identical to what was taken in Europe to first form a European economic union, and then finally they have to put a political thing on top of that. The next thing you know, now you've got the European Union, or basically the United Nations of Europe, and this is what they're going to put into place here. Now, let me back off a minute and say this. We are one country, we're all one continent. In fact, we all live on this same world. So perhaps perhaps we should be all working together to form a global community, so to speak. But if we're going to do that, let's have everybody at the table. Let's get everybody's views out there. Let's find out what the desires are, what the needs are, and let's put all this out. Let's don't ram it through by a handful of people who are doing it by secrecy and deceit. Congress is appalled. I mean, they're putting this whole thing, they're destroying the sovereignty of the United States of America, and Congress doesn't even know what's going on.
Well, I think, Jim, that the significant thing is if the average American knew that they were going to destroy our sovereignty, destroy our constitutional guarantees of freedom, and give us the same sort of freedom they have in Mexico or, you know, in any authoritarian society. No country has the freedoms that we do and the protections of the Bill of Rights, and that all goes when, of course, we join this union, just exactly as traditional English law and the traditions that made Great Britain once a great nation are all being eroded: the right of habeas corpus, the right of individual freedom under God. All of this is disappearing in England and will soon disappear in America, thanks to the current Republican administration that is concealing the truth about what it's doing. And if any of our listeners want to verify this, just go to your website and type in spp.gov. That's their website. You can see it there. Of course, they're concealing most of the information. They won't even tell you who's on the task forces if you call them. But at least you'll know that it is going on, and we've got some great information on that. My interview is with Dr. Corsi. Anything else, Jim?
Well, don't you remember that man that you had on who was from England, but he is a delegate?
Well, that was Ashley Moat, yes.
And I don't know if you had a chance to hear that, Jim, but this gentleman said he's actually a member of the EU Parliament. He said they don't do anything.
He's just a figurehead for the bureaucracy. In fact,
exactly.
He's duly elected by the people of England and accomplishes absolutely nothing. And he readily admitted that.
And did you see that picture of their building, Jim, that looks just like the Tower of Babel?
Right. In fact, isn't that amazing that they're really open about using these occult symbols and building?
Did you ever get that email, Dr. Stan?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
You saw the picture?
Right. And for our listeners out there, basically there's a picture that circulates widely in Europe of the Tower of Babel, but it was never completed. So you see a picture of this tower incomplete. And they actually built the building where the European Parliament holds its sessions in Strasbourg, an exact parallel of this incomplete Tower of Babel. So it's built just so it would look incomplete, even though it's not. You know, the roof's on, and of course they hold their meetings there. But this is all fulfillment of the ancient biblical prophecies. They understand that. In fact, out in front of the building, they have a picture, a statue of a woman riding a beast.
May I give out that webpage?
Sure, go right ahead.
It's called The Watcher, TheWatcher, .co, in other words, CO, .UK.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate that. Anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
No, sir. I sure appreciate it. And thanks again, Jim, for all your work and books.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the good word.
All righty. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Jim Mars. Our past guest was Jim from Missouri, and now we have Jim from Massachusetts. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I just had a question for your guest, Jim Mars. I'm looking forward to his next book, The Terror Conspiracy. And I noticed on one of his lectures, he mentioned something about the explosive agency he thought might have brought down the World Trade Center towers. Micronukes with tritium. I wonder if he brings this out in his book.
Yes, that is discussed. Frankly, you have to keep following the evidence. It seems now that there may have been a variety of exotic technologies used to bring down the World Trade Center. I still think, and there's too much evidence to show that there was massive explosions in the basement. Plus, you had those molten metal that was still there 4 and 6 weeks after it, which indicates extreme heat and also great pressure, which turned the concrete into just talcum powder for all practical purposes. But then you've also got to get rid of those massive steel columns and girders inside, and I think Dr. Stephen Jones of Brigham Young University is onto that by demonstrating quite clearly that thermite was used to cut those columns. In fact, and thermite, of course, just melts steel, turns it into molten metal, and there are now photographs showing molten metal flowing out of the upper floors of the World Trade Center. So I think we have a combination of technologies there, and I think that's part of the secret. If you can use a technology that is largely unknown to the public, then you can present a cover story, and very few people are going to be able to contradict you.
I mean, I think it's so interesting. Apparently, remember, Chris, immediately they got rid of all the metal. They got it all shipped over to China to be remelted. They would not allow anybody to go in and check it out, but apparently there were a few small fragments that were taken to be used in a memorial. And apparently Stephen Jones, Professor Jones, got hold of that and checked that metal that the government didn't want him to be able to see. And what did he find?
Radiation.
Evidence of thermite, of course.
And thermite.
Right.
That's right.
And that's exactly.
And there's the key to it right there, my friends. It's not who destroyed the buildings. It's who covered up the truth of what really happened.
Sure.
And whoever covered that up under our legal system is considered an accessory after the fact, which means they're as guilty as the people who actually set charges or flew the airplanes or caused the destruction in the first place.
Well, I'm just reading, in fact, my latest newsletter is going to be the letter that was written by President Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, to George Bush, and he said, how could this possibly have happened on 9/11 without some of the intelligence agencies known about it? I mean, certainly you have very extensive intelligence agencies, very capable. How could this have happened, and why has no one been punished for this? No one within the intelligence community. And I think we should ask the same thing. Why wasn't somebody held responsible for and not knowing or not stopping it? In most countries, somebody would have resigned, you know, in disgrace for allowing 3,000 Americans to be killed. Instead of that, President Bush congratulated George Tenet of the CIA for a job well done.
That's right.
But what job was well done?
That tells you what the job was. And nobody got punished because everybody within our intelligence agencies, including the CIA and even the FBI, which is what is well known and well documented now, is that they were doing their job and they were passing information right up the ladder to the top saying that we're about to be attacked and, you know, these Muslims are flying airplanes down here in Phoenix, Arizona, and yada, yada, yada. And yet all that was blocked. There was investigations were stopped. None of that information was acted on at the absolute top, and that, of course, then brings the question of who guards the guards.
And, of course, there's a wonderful book we carry written by an ex-CIA man named Robert Baer called See No Evil. And there, of course, he actually says that one of the top men of the CIA told one of his friends off the record that when the dust finally settles after 9/11, the American people will realize that what happened was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence.
Exactly.
How could it be a triumph of intelligence? I bet you won't hear any of that coming. We've got the book. We still offer it, See No Evil by Robert Baer. And of course, the article comes right in the very preface. You read it, understand. And this was a triumph for the CIA. And it was a triumph because the American people to this day do not know what really happened that day. Jim, do you have anything else to say before we let you go?
Well, I just
it just looks like the Bush administration, the neocons, are hell-bent to attack Iran. I just wondered if Jim had any ideas to when it's likely to happen. It looks like the outermost limit of that would be before October for the elections. They would want to have something happen by then. I just want to know what his thoughts might be on that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. If indeed we're going to end up attacking Iran, and of course there is now widespread and growing knowledge and understanding and consciousness about all this, and I think there's a rising opposition. This has forced the neocons to kind of back off, and now they're talking peaceful negotiation, etc. And this gets scary, too, because, as you said, if it gets to the point to where they think they might not be able to carry out their plans, then they're liable to set off another terrorist attack. And I would agree with you that it would be likely before the elections. But it's a touchy thing. See, they're playing with fire. They want everybody scared off center, and yet they don't want the economy to totally bottom out. So who knows? They may prop it on up, and we may ease on through Christmas. But it's going to be pretty dicey, and people need to start paying attention to what's going on, so if there is another terrorist attack, that we will not be stampeded and run off a cliff like a bunch of lemmings like they did last time.
And Jim, I would suggest you, if you have a computer, Google in Zbigniew Brzezinski and Iran. He has an article in the Washington Post he wrote in April where he said, you know, we should not be attacking Iran. It would be a terrible disaster. It would totally destabilize the area. And remember, Zbigniew Brzezinski is the man who speaks for David Rockefeller, who really runs the Trilateral Commission. So here you have some very, very powerful people who don't want that, at least in my estimation.
Well, at least they're giving us the impression they don't want that. But, Dr. Stans, you know enough about their methodology to know that it may be that because of the rising number of people who are aware of these secret societies and how they operate, that they may be now constructing the idea that there is a schism in there, and they're going to separate the good guys from the bad guys, and, you know, they'll eventually dump on Bush and the neocons, and then we'll all run and embrace the good guys like Brzezinski, and then their world domination plan will just keep continuing forward.
Well, Jim, we live in exciting times. Thanks so much for calling. And let's go to, bye-bye and God bless. Let's go to Steve calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good, and good afternoon to both of you gentlemen. I have a question to ask Mr. Mars. These are not new questions. These are fairly old questions, but I don't know what his viewpoint on them was. And the first question was, in his opinion, was Flight 93 over Pennsylvania, was it shot down? And question number two, if it wasn't an airplane that hit the Pentagon, what was it? And the airplane that seems to have turned up missing, what happened to it?
Okay, well, those are all very, very good questions. Let's start with Flight 93. What I can tell you as an award-winning aviation aerospace writer is simply this. That plane was coming apart in midair. It did not get driven into the ground. There was a debris trail of more than 8 miles long. So it was either shot down, which seems to be the general consensus among the researchers of alternative theories, but then I think we also have to consider that they did record one of the hijackers in the cockpit say that there was a bomb on board. So the hijackers could have set off the bomb, or the bomb could have been triggered remotely to destroy that craft to keep it from landing safely and revealing what the true plot was. The problem is we'll never really know for sure because there's been no real investigation and the facts of the whole thing have been muddied and covered up. We don't even have a detailed NTSB report on the whole thing. Now, to the Pentagon, there's some interesting new information coming up about the Pentagon. We all know that the FAA picked up a radar track of an airplane that made a spiraling, diving dive to the Pentagon and leveled out apparently almost treetop level or less. And, of course, they're trying to say that was Flight 77. And yet, number one, the air traffic controllers themselves said it. They all thought it was a military plane. Well, now we have a General Larry Arnold of NORAD who has said that something happened at the Pentagon, and he ordered an F-15 to buzz the Pentagon to see what had happened, and it did, and the pilot reported back he could see no evidence of airplane wreckage. Now, the key thing about that is that this happened after something exploded at the Pentagon, but just within minutes. And General Arnold himself said he thinks that the radar track of this 180-degree spiraling turn was actually the military fighter, which means where was the airplane and where was the track on the airplane. And it also explains why that they have jimmied with the numbers, the time of the explosion or when something happened at the Pentagon. Originally he said it was 9:48, and they kept backing it back, and now the lowest they've gotten is to 9:37, and yet the clocks on the west side of the Pentagon all were blown shut and stopped at 9:32. So that's a 5-minute difference. Something happened at the Pentagon.
Hey, we're gonna hold up. Thanks very much. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jim Mars. Jim, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Go ahead.
Okay. So obviously something happened at the Pentagon other than this plane hitting it, because the time frame's off. Also, they have not shown us any clear pictures of the plane hitting the Pentagon. They have shown us those 14 frames, which I've looked at, everybody else looked at, and we still don't see any huge 757. But my thing is this. If they can show us that, then why not show us the film from the Sheraton Hotel, the Citgo Station, and the 8 or 9 security cameras at the Pentagon? Let's just all look at it, and let's all see that plane hit the building. But they won't show us that. They won't show us pictures of the wreckage. There is just too many questions, totally unanswered. And to wrap it up, Dr. Stan, I would simply say that you don't trust politicians, and especially don't trust politicians who talk about their religion and about how God-fearing they are, because let's never forget that during World War II, those Nazi soldiers who were trying to take over the world carried belt buckles that read, "Gott mit uns," which means God is with us. So just by claiming that you're religious and just by claiming that God's on your side does not always make it so.
Amen to that. And, of course, which God were they talking about? Of course,
exactly.
The Nazis God.
And which God, yeah.
And there are other gods out there. And there is another spiritual dimension to everything going on. Steve, anything else you wanted to ask before we let you go?
Well, I just am somewhat confused. If it wasn't the airplane that hit the Pentagon, well, then what happened to those people that were on that airplane?
And what happened to the people who were on flight 007 that went down with Larry McDonald? None of the bodies were ever found. They found the plane, but there were no bodies in it. Whatever happened to them?
Well, there is a theory, and I stress this is a theory, but although it's based on fact, that morning in Cleveland, the mayor of Cleveland announced on television that two planes, an American plane, a United Airlines plane, had been made emergency landings at Cleveland Airport because of bomb threats. And then after that, all that just went quiet. And these passengers were offloaded, taken to a NASA facility on one end of the airfield and another government facility on the other. So, but then to me, see, if those people were actually offloaded airplanes, you know they can't allow them to live. They're liable to turn up somewhere and tell everybody what's really going on. So now, instead of just collateral damage from an attack, that now this is cold-blooded murder and deserves even further investigation.
Steve, thanks so much
for calling,
and thank you so very much for being with us, Jim. It's always a pleasure. And the thing is, none of this makes any sense unless you understand there's organized evil out there.
That's true.
There really are people who have no concern about human life. God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed Jim Parr's interview. And if you'd like to get a copy of his book, Rule by Secrecy, or Inside Job, which does deal with 911 and is excellent, and there are not very many of them still available. We've got a few of the last ones. And when these are gone, they're gone forever. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, you can get Inside Job and Rule by Secrecy. If you'd like to know what really happened on 911, you need to get our three pamphlets. They're only $9.95 for all three of them. They're called Foreknowledge 911. And you'll get information there that you won't get any other place, and you'll begin to pieced together the truth of the matter that this, what happened on 9-1-1 was really a triumph for our intelligence agencies. They put it over on the American people. So, again, the pamphlets, Foreknowledge, 9-1-1. Now, if you haven't read the Terror Timeline, War on Terror, and a number of other books we carry, we've got four tape sets on 9-1-1 and 9-1-1 Revisited. We initial 9-1-1, and then the 9-1-1 Revisited is my interviews with Jimmy Walter, who spent millions of dollars running full-page ads in New York City and certainly running advertisements on television in New York, millions of his own money, trying to wake the American people to let them understand what is really going on. So that is 9-1-1 Revisited. That's Paul Thompson, who wrote the Terror Timeline, and then Jimmy Walter. So if you'd like to get these, the information is out there, and by calling 1-800-544-8927. We must never let the American people forget that a terrible criminal act occurred on 9-1-1. And if Osama bin Laden was really behind that, why didn't we ever try to capture him? Why, when we sent our troops into Afghanistan, and Osama was trapped in the Tora Bora Mountains with his men, why didn't we allow the American troops to go in and capture him? Why did we send troops who were loyal to Osama bin Laden, Afghan mercenaries, who helped him escape into Pakistan? And if he did escape into Pakistan, why didn't we simply ignore international law and track him down and kill the wicked Osama bin Laden? Unless he was a lifelong CIA agent, and we couldn't do that? Is that really possible? Well, if you read my pamphlets, of course, you'll find that the documentation for this and for so many other things from professors at various universities, liberal professors and conservative professors, the information's out there, but you're not going to get it through regular channels. And I would simply point out that the Afghans, first of all, the Taliban had been supported by the United States government, the wicked Taliban that were giving sanctuary to Osama bin Laden. You know, we actually were financing them. Now, bin Laden, we're told, was responsible for the bombing in Aden in 1992, the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993, the Black Hawk Down incident in Somalia in 1994, probably involved in the bombing in Riyadh in 1995 and the Khobar Towers in 1996, certainly involved with the bombing of the American embassies in 1998 in Tanzania, and certainly involved with the bombing of the coal. And yet, the United States funded the Taliban in Afghanistan, who are hosting Osama bin Laden. Why would you do that? That just doesn't make sense. We funded them right up until the September 11th of 2001, and if you doubt that, you pull down President Bush's speech. You can pull it down at whitehouse.gov. September 20th, 2001, just 9 days after 9-1-1, he will tell you that with the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan, which was the Taliban at the time, why would we be funding the people who were funding and helping Osama bin Laden right up until 9-1-1? Or maybe, nothing as it appears to be. So our plea is, go to our website, radioliberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. We're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.